Now that we've finished the first module, I'm hoping people are starting to see not only the individual parts of this program, but also what the whole package I'm hoping is starting to at least partially take shape. And we're at an exciting place now for session six, moving on to the world of interpersonal connection, the world of interpersonal connection, moving on from interconnection. So our last assignment was tolerating the body. I received a number of emails over the last week. Some of them were really, really very moving and touching. People who talked about being much more accepting of aspects of their body that they previously were fighting against, whether that's an issue of something that they wanted, body image issues. Somebody wrote to me that for a long time they had really struggled with certain aspects of themselves and feeling like they were falling short, and really allowed themselves to let go and to love their body just for who they were. So I'm so glad that people are getting it and putting it into practice. Not only theory, it's something that they're actually doing. So this is great. This is really, really wonderful and exactly what the purpose of the workshop is. Okay, so our agenda for today, since we're starting a new module, we're going to briefly review the entire connections paradigm. And this is done at the start of each module just to orient ourselves. By the time we do it for the third time at the end, and then actually we'll do it against one finally time for our finale session, you're going to know it all by heart, which is great. So we're just going to briefly review the connections paradigm. I want to introduce the concept of interpersonal connection between people, and then I'll introduce you to the new exercise as usual. Okay, so let's briefly overview the connections paradigm. So this workshop is predicated on a spiritually based paradigm for understanding human emotion, and that is called the worlds of connection and disconnection. You'll remember that from handout introduction B. And the summary of the paradigm is as follows. At any moment in time, human beings dwell in one of two worlds. We're either in the world of connection or we are in the world of disconnection. The world of disconnection is also known as the world of isolation, loneliness, and fear, the world of fear. So we have the world of connection, which is also known as the world of love, and then we have the world of disconnection, which is known as the world of fear, love and fear. And connection involves coming together of two separate entities in three central domains. We have body and soul that can come together for interconnection. We have us and other people who can come together and form love with others, interpersonal connection. And then we finally have us and God to have a spiritual connection. And by contrast, the world of disconnection or the world of fear always has a separation or an estrangement of these entities. And what that means, and we'll see this a little bit more explicitly today than we have up till this point, is that they are acting unilaterally. They're not considering the other. When body and soul, let's take us back to what we've already learned, are thinking about themselves, so to speak, and not each other, that's the world of separation or estrangement or disconnection. But that's different when the body is accepting what the soul's telling it to do, guiding it to do through sitting with the stress, and when the body is opening up to the soul by sharing with it its perspectives, and when the soul, in turn, is taking care of the body, taking care of its physical, basic physical needs, emotionally, physically, spiritual needs, even though it doesn't fully understand those needs, even though they're different, and when the soul is tolerating the body. So that's all the same thing, that they are getting out of themselves and taking care of the other. At each level of connection, here's another point, is that there is a giver and a receiver. We find a provider and then a receiver. Connection occurs when one of the entities provides for the other, and the other entity receives its gifts or accepts its gifts. We'll see more about this giving and receiving piece in the world of interpersonal connection. It happens in the world of intrapersonal connection or interconnection, but when it comes to interpersonal connection, spiritual connection, we'll see it much more. But it's all about giving and receiving. Connection is about a flow, and it's a flow from giver to receiver. It's either being provided or received. There's another thing, which is that these three areas are hierarchical. Our relationship with God at the pinnacle, our spiritual connection, is constrained by our relationship with ourselves and with others. And similarly, our relationship with others is constrained by our relationship with ourselves, our interconnection. it's very hard to have relationships with other people if we don't have a relationship with ourselves, if we don't have interconnection. If people aren't sitting with distress and able to provide for their own body, then it's very hard to receive from somebody else. And furthermore, in terms of relating to God, how can we relate to a being that's non-corporeal, non-physical, if we can't relate to physical beings, which is a lot easier? How can we relate to a being that's so different from us if we can't relate to beings that are closer to us and more similar to us? Now, of course, in certain cases, you might want to build spiritual connection before being, if you will say, fully built in interpersonal connection or an interconnection, because we have opportunities to do so, and it's important to keep moving. But sometimes people have an opportunity to get into a friendship or a romantic relationship, even though they're not fully ready at the level of interconnection. And sometimes we would encourage people to do that because that's the opportunity, and it came along. You know, it came along. But in the long run, excuse me, in the long run, the only way to sustain connection at higher levels is to have a firm base at the lower levels. So eventually, if people don't, in those circumstances, work on their lower levels, on interconnection, interpersonal connection, then the higher levels are going to fall out. And finally, another point for the paradigm is that according to the connections paradigm, the only time that we have anxiety and depression is when we dwell in the world of disconnection. Any mental health symptoms cannot occur when a person is in a state of connection. When we are in love, we are not in fear. If we have a healthy, when we have healthy, thriving relationships between body and soul, with others, and with God, then we're protected. But when we are disconnected from others, then we're susceptible to having those symptoms. And as I mentioned before, the world of connection is really known as the world of love, and the world of disconnection is known as the world of fear. And the goal of this program, this workshop, is to help all of us to develop and to increase concrete skills to facilitate and maintain connection, interconnection, interpersonal connection, and our spiritual connection. Okay, and with that, I'd like to introduce interpersonal connection. Interpersonal connection, it's a lot easier to describe than interconnection. You'll remember by interconnection, we have the body and the soul, and we have to talk about who these two players are, and we have to watch the bouncing ball. Is it the soul speaking? Is it the body speaking? And that takes a lot of time and experience that people have to play with the technology in order to figure out what on earth the whole thing means. When it comes to interconnection, the meaning of it jumps off the page a lot easier. Because we commonly think about our interactions with people in terms of relationships. We think about how other people feel, how do we feel when we're talking to people. You know, this is basic psychological mindedness, and it's pretty common these days, thankfully. But we're less used to thinking about inner processes in a relationship, as a relationship between body and soul. So when it comes to interconnection, it's harder to wrap our heads around. So it's easier conceptually. But in practice, the practical reality of navigating the world of interpersonal connection is much harder. It's actually more complicated. The reason is because, very simple, it's one simple reason. You cannot control somebody else's behavior, period. You can try, but you cannot control somebody else's behavior. Ultimately, people have free choice, and it's not possible to control them. I'll give you an example. Have you ever been yelled at by somebody and you felt it was unjust? A family member, friend? And how did you feel? How did you react? Were you completely, you know, filled with equanimity, or did you feel tense? So I imagine the latter, and the reason is because when other people disconnect, then we can get pulled into the world of disconnection unless we know exactly what to do. So it's more complicated because you're dealing with somebody else who might or might not be connected at any point. But nevertheless, we can have a conceptual basis, and we can develop a conceptual basis, and as well as very clear behavioral strategies to facilitate greater interpersonal connection, and that's what this module is about. Okay, in a nutshell, and this is on handout 6A, which is on the website, interpersonal connection can be summed up as entering into another person's world. Entering into another person's world. That is what interpersonal connection is about. It's about getting beyond ourselves and focusing on what the experience is of another person. It's not just about being nice. It's not just about doing good things for people. It's not just about being generous or being kind. It's more than that. It's getting outside of your own perspective, our own perspectives, seeing beyond our needs, beyond the tendencies of our body and our own soul, and delving into the experiences of another human being. All people, even if they're very kind, they might live in a hall of mirrors. Some people just have a need to give, but they're not really focusing on who they're giving to. And entering the world of the other, the world of interpersonal connection, is about leaving that hall of mirrors and really focusing on them. The focus here isn't on body and soul. It's on another person's needs and what we can do for another person. I should mention before, if a person has a need to give, that could be coming from a connected place. That could be something that they've worked on for a long time. It could be something that they've inculcated inside of themselves. They've done strategies in connections, in interpersonal connection. It could be something that they learned from either previous generations, parents, grandparents, they saw them doing it, and that many often is the case. It could be something that they've inculcated so much that they've created a physical need to give on their part, which is great. But I'm talking about what would be disconnection is somebody who is providing for all the needs of somebody else, but they're really doing it for selfish reasons. We'll talk a bit about what that means soon. That would be disconnection, of course. Specifically, connection in the interpersonal world involves giving as opposed to taking. And giving, in terms of the connections paradigm, is defined as follows. There are really three steps, and this is also, I believe it's also on your handout. Noticing and identifying the needs of another person, considering those needs, taking them into account, thinking about them, and finally exerting some sort of effort in order to provide for the needs of another person. So it's all those processes in order. Noticing somebody else's needs, thinking about their needs, and intentionally exerting an effort specifically to take care of those needs. It's more than just being nice. It's more than just being kind. It's getting outside of ourselves, considering other people, noticing their needs, considering them, and then exerting efforts to do so. In other words, interpersonal connection, which we'll also call giving, involves learning to recognize the experiences of other people, getting outside of ourselves, perceiving what other people want, what are they experiencing, accurately assessing those needs, and then responding appropriately with altruism and with others' best interest in mind. However, there are a couple of important points that we have to note. Number one, it is not always an act of giving to give to people. Giving does not mean giving. Okay, yeah, yes, I know, it's funny. I told you this was conceptually easy, but okay. It's not always an act of giving to provide for other people, and it's also not always an act of taking to receive. How's that for conceptually easy? Rather, there are four ways that we can provide and receive. You can provide in order to give. You can receive in order to give. You can also provide in order to take, and then you can also receive in order to take. And I'll explain what each of these examples is, but they are also on your handout. Let's say somebody notices that somebody else needs hope. They're feeling down on themselves, they're having a hard day. And they go to the store and they buy them flowers, they bring them over, and they lift them up. They lift up their spirits. That is providing in order to give. That is the world of connection, interpersonal connection. Because you're noticing that somebody else is down on their luck. You're going out of your way, knowing, perceiving somehow that they would appreciate flowers, and going and giving them the flowers. There's also receiving, though, in order to give. Let's say you are down on your luck, and somebody brings over flowers to you, and you really don't like those flowers. You don't like carnations, and they brought you carnations. Receiving those flowers could, with a smile on your face, could be an act of giving, because you're giving that person that opportunity to provide. There's also something else that which is much more profound, which is receiving from other people can, in many cases, give them an opportunity to be givers. I guess it's the same thing, but this is more profound, where you might look for opportunities to receive things from other people in order that they feel good about themselves. There are many people who like to give. They want to give. And being the beneficiary of their benevolence makes them feel good about themselves. A classic example is somebody who invites you over for a meal. And that could be, you know, you don't need a meal necessarily, but you're happy to go, and you accept it from them, and you say thank you, and they feel good that they provided for you. That's an act of giving on the part of the recipient, because they were receiving in order to give. There's more, and we're going to talk about this at length in at least one of the sessions. But then there's also providing in order to take. Well, let's talk about receiving in order to take first. Receiving in order to take is where you physically receive something in order to take from them. A classic example there is stealing. You're taking something. Your whole focus is on yourself. You don't really care about them. You're not giving them the opportunity to provide. They don't even have to know about it as far as you're concerned. You just want something, and you're receiving from them. So it's physical receiving and also, if you will, spiritual receiving, because you're being a taker and not a giver. And finally, there's providing in order to take. This is a complicated one. Sometimes people do favors for other people without accepting anything in return, only in order that other people will be indebted. I'm sure you've met people like this. I hate to say it, but a lot of folks in academic medicine tend to do this. They do lots of favors for other people. They don't accept anything in return. Their whole goal is to become is to be able to receive honor, and also to be able to basically own other people. So that looks like giving. It looks like they're very giving and benevolent and kind, but they're not, because they're really focused on themselves. So it's important to clarify, interpersonal connection, which is quote-unquote giving, is providing or receiving for the sake of giving to others. So whether the physical and mechanical aspect is something that you're providing for somebody else or receiving from them is less important than the intention. What's the intention? Is the intention to uplift somebody by receiving their gifts? Guess what? You're a giver. The one who received is a giver. If your intention is to give to somebody else to really uplift them and help them and give them something that they need, and you're providing for them, well, that's also giving. But if your intention is to own them, then even if you're providing for them, you're not a giver. That's interpersonal disconnection. The focus needs to be on the experience of the other. Can you get out of yourself? Can we get out of ourselves and focus on what somebody else needs? If they lack something and we provide it, that's connection. And if they need to provide something and we receive it, that's also connection. By contrast, when we act selfishly and we don't consider the needs of others, that's disconnection. If they need to provide something and we don't receive it, that's disconnection. Refusing a favor when the person really needs to provide it for you, that's a form of disconnection. Now, there's aspects of interconnection, whatever. We'll get into the whole discussion. You know, do you have to receive everything from everybody? Of course the answer is no. But, and do you have to provide everything that everybody else needs? Of course the answer is no. So we'll get into those discussions. But from a basic level, if somebody needs to provide for you and we don't receive it, like I said, that's disconnection. And also, if they need to receive, and we receive from them, if they're trying to just preserve what they have, or they're not interested in giving, and we take it from them, then that's also disconnection. Now, note here also another point. I think we said the first one was one, so this is two. Interpersonal connection runs parallel to interconnection. The world of interconnection also involves providing and receiving. When the body and soul are connected, the soul is providing for the body. It's taking care of its spiritual and physical needs. It's accepting its shortcomings, and it's being a benevolent provider, a benevolent giver, I should say. And the body, when the body receives from the soul, and it takes and accepts its guidance, and it expresses its needs and raises issues in order to connect with the soul, it's technically receiving. It looks like it's a taker, but it's not. Because it's giving the body, I'm sorry, because the body is giving the soul an opportunity to rise up to the challenge and to be a provider. Conversely, when body and soul are acting unilaterally, when they don't consider the other, that's disconnection. In other words, the goal of it, which is the same as we had with interpersonal connection. In other words, the goal of interconnection is the same as the goal for interpersonal connection. It's that each entity, body and soul, when it comes to interconnection, focuses on the other. Body focuses on soul, soul focuses on body. And when it comes to interpersonal connection, it's us focusing on other people. That's the goal. The really goal, the whole goal here is getting outside of ourselves and focusing on the other. And by the way, preview of coming attractions in a couple of weeks, the same applies to spiritual connection. Spiritual connection involves getting outside of our own perspective and taking on that of the other, that of God. And we'll talk a lot about that. So if you will, actually, connection can be defined as focusing on the other. That's the definition of connection. And whether that's internally, or it might be with other people interpersonally, and it might be spiritually. Like I said, hopefully the connections paradigm as a whole is starting to come into focus. Okay, now, in terms of interpersonal connection, this is at the bottom of the handout, 6A. There are a lot of moving parts when it comes to interpersonal connection, but in this program, we're going to focus on just four of them. There's one in each of the following four sessions, in fact, sessions 7, 8, 9, and 10. The first one is noticing the needs of others. Do we get outside of ourselves, and are we able to notice when other people have needs? Are we able to see other people for who they are and for what they need? Number two is to actually not only notice somebody's needs, but to provide for those needs, to make an effort in order to take care of what they need. And that might be receiving from them, by the way, which we'll talk about. Number three is to notice when we disconnect from other people, to notice when we struggle to accept other people for who they are and get out of our relationship with them and sever our relationship with them. And then the fourth, which is actually extremely hard, is remaining connected to other people when they don't do what we want. Can we continue to remain in a relationship with them and to receive from them when they're not providing for us the way that we want them to provide for us? Now, briefly, these four parts build upon one another. In order to give, we have to first notice. And then once we're providing for other people's needs, that can create love. And once we have connection and relationship with other people, we're vulnerable to disconnecting. And then it's important to notice when we disconnect and to remain connected to others and to continue that relationship with them when they do things that we don't want. That last session is key because it's all about how to live and to love people who don't do what we want. Who doesn't want to know about that, huh? Okay. So our exercise for the coming week is going to be about noticing other people's needs. Now, I want to make a note of something here. The idea of noticing somebody's needs is so deceptively simple. It's extremely simple, but it's actually not. It's the idea is that this in of itself is an elementary act of interpersonal connection, because we're getting outside of ourselves and we're focusing on another person's physical needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, and trying to notice what somebody else has. It takes a moment, but it's a key moment. It's such a fundamental human activity. And the idea here, what we're going to do, we're going to keep doing this. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the way the program is structured, we're going to keep this exercise as the only new exercise, both this week and next week, the next time that we meet. And the reason we're going to have to do it for two full weeks is because it's so deceptively simple. Noticing other people's needs. It's a foundational skill in building interpersonal connection. And in fact, we're going to spend the entire of session, the next session that we have, which is session 7, just focusing on this. But for now, I want you to get started with it. In reality, it can take many months to do this in order to have a significant impact. But I want to get a head start. The way that we are going to structure the exercise is to notice any need of any person. Hold on. Excuse me, I just had a sneeze. Is to notice any need that any person has, any other human being, at any point during the day. It can be a physical need, a spiritual need, it could be anything. The only caveat is that you have to notice the need before they make it explicit, either behaviorally or verbally. Once a person says, hey, I'm thirsty, do you mind if I have some water? Or, excuse me, sir, can you spare a dime or a dollar? If they have a sign up saying that they need something, that doesn't count because it's so obvious. Once somebody has made it explicit and clear to you what they need, you lose the opportunity to get your, you know, get your activity here, because then it's now it's not something that you got outside of yourself. It was something they brought you into that world. If somebody asks you for something explicitly and you don't provide it for them, like, that's not just a lack of getting outside yourself. That's just a lack of decency. The point is to get outside of ourselves to focus on the needs of another person. So even if they put out their hand to ask you for a coin, then you lose the opportunity. You have to notice that they need something before they ask you. The point of this exercise is to leave our own world for a moment and to delve into the experience of another person. I want to make another point here is that we're not involved in the, you know what, before I make this other point, I'm going to give you some examples. If you're walking down the street, and you know what, I'm going to tell you a story. When I started doing this program, it was, we ran these groups, the Connections groups, in Manhattan. And one of the good things about Manhattan is you go outside of the building, and there's literally thousands of people. At one point, we were doing this group in my office, which at the time was actually on the 59th floor of the Empire State Building, believe it or not. And we went down to 34th Street in the Herald Square, and there were so many people. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I remember pulling up with this group of connections participants, and our whole job was just to look and find opportunities opportunities to get outside of ourselves and to notice the needs of other people. I saw a hot dog vendor who looked so down on his luck and was really, he was almost in tears and really trying to sell his hot dogs, and he had them piled up and nobody was buying. I don't know if it was raining or bad weather or just, you know, I guess it's just bad luck. I don't know. It was hard to know what exactly was going on. But I remember, you know, getting out, I didn't buy a hot dog, of course, but I remember noticing his needs and like feeling for a minute that like, wow, he's really having a hard time. That in of itself was a moment of connection, and it wasn't something that I would have done without this program, without being taught that that's an act of connection. I remember seeing people walking into buildings and the person in front of them would just let the door slam. And I remember seeing some of the participants pointed out there were people walking down the street and they were carrying 4, 5, 6 bags from retail stores, and it was hard for them to carry all these bags and to get onto the subway. There were people looking for taxis, and then the taxis would go by and they really needed these taxis. Everywhere you turn, there's somebody who has a need. If anybody who's participating here has kids at home, oh my God, I mean, there's no end. They're so needy. But the younger they are, the needier they are. And just noticing it. And instead of, I'll tell you what this is about. If a baby's crying and, oh, I have to feed the baby. So are we feeding the baby because of the noise? It's annoying and you want them to be quiet? Or are you feeding the baby because you notice that they have a need? And hopefully it's both, but, you know, the goal is to really focus on moving into a state of giving to them, because we notice that they're hungry, even before they're hungry, because we know, hey, oh, it's been a couple hours, they need to eat, whatever it is. But I want to point out another thing here, which is that we're not involved in providing for others' needs right now. The goal here is just to notice, just to perceive and understand what other people are lacking. That in of itself is an act of connection. And I think you will find that just getting outside of your head, getting outside of your own worries, your own concerns, your own life for a couple minutes every day and focusing on the needs of other people intentionally, delving into it, thinking about their experience, will make a massive difference. Now, in terms of homework, you know what your exercise is. We do need to bump an exercise off of your chart because we're only allowed to have three at one time. So we're going to bump off providing for your physical and spiritual needs. Now, still provide for your physical and spiritual needs on a daily basis, of course, but we're not going to chart it anymore. We're going to move to body-soul conversations, sitting with the stress, providing for physical and spiritual. Sorry, just a minute. Those are the exercises that are not on your chart. We are not charting body-soul conversations. We are not charting sitting with the stress. And we are not charting providing for spiritual and physical needs on a daily basis, but do them. We are charting noticing somebody else's needs. That's your new one. Tolerating the body's idiosyncrasies with love and patience, which, as you'll remember from last week, I hope. And expressing needs and raising issues to the soul. Those are your three exercises that remain on your chart. And with that, we will conclude session number 6.